Here's where I want to start. Be doers of the word. This morning we talked a little bit among the sampler crew about this preaching concept called performative speech. 10 points to someone who can remind me what that was about. 20 points to one of you two. Ooh, you got it. Go for it, Caleb.
Words that do what they say.
Yes, absolutely right. 20 points. Unlike Whose Line Is It Anyway, these points actually mean something. But you'll never find out what it means. Performative speech are words that do what they say they're going to do. So the example we used this morning is, I forgive you, or I love you. These are words that don't just indicate something. I can't just say, table, and have a table exist.
That'd be pretty cool.
Wouldn't it though? Like, if I could be that person, I would be so happy. But I'm not. But I can use some kinds of speech that are performative and say, I forgive you, or I value you, or you are worthy, right? And these words actually do something, they apply something, they actually give life to something beyond what the noises, what the consonants and the vowels might just otherwise sound like. So that's what performative speech is. But being doers of the word is not something that stops at performative speech. I wrote a blog post this week in the midst of the Vocation of a Lutheran College conference because in the midst of that conference, I was inspired to think through what our faith is about. One of the things that I've been most troubled by in my relatively short, not as short as any of your time on this earth, but my still relatively short, I'm not old yet, life on this earth, is the way that faith, yes, thank you. You can see my gray hair and my beard, Andy, I know.
I didn't want to say it. Yeah.
Is the way that faith does not actually change people. Or that declared faith that people say they have, doesn't actually seem to have a transformative effect on their lives. What I said, not a shameless plug, because I'm reading it to you, so you don't have to hear it. Or you don't have to read it again. I said, we need an active theology for our church. Often you'll hear about systematic theology. If you study religion at all, you hear about systematic theology, which is kind of the study of theoretical religion, and that's fine. Then you hear about practical theology, the study of ministry practices, like preaching and worship and pastoral care, also fine. But the problem for me in most of those classes is that it stays up in this headspace level where it doesn't actually say, and this is what then it calls you to be and do. This is how it is actually going to take root in you and change you. And I think that's true of all of our theological disciplines. I think it's true of all of our churches. I think it's true of most of us because if we're honest, maybe you're not this person, but I am. Change requires something of me, and so I'm not often willing to give that. I'd rather say, oh, I am this thing, but it's not actually performative speech, right? It's not actually words that make a difference, words that make a change. They're just words, and they stop there. So with all of that, with that idea of an active theology, what I want us to think about tonight and being doers of the word and talk about tonight is specifically this. At that same conference, we talked about a definition of vocation was something that you can't not do. Something that you can't not do. Something that you are unable to stop yourself from doing. Not in a negative way, not in the like, oh, I'm a sinner, and so I gorge myself on 12 pizzas because they're so delicious. Thank you, Donato's, right?
Favorite pizza place.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Oh, yes.
I don't play favorites. But you're doing that's right. Hunter works at Donato's. He might be my favorite.
Hello.
We're talking about Jesus and Donato's right now.
Hey, I got Jesus. That's great.
We're actually just talking about things that we can't not do. The vocations in our lives, those things in our lives that are so important to us that we can't not do them, right? Huh? I thought you said, do you not have air? And I was like... No, I... Oh my gosh, so many emotions. So many emotions. So... We're going to bring all that. We're gonna stir that cauldron a little bit. I don't know why I just use like a bewitched, but I can't wiggle my nose, so that's not going to be helpful. The thing about what God calls us to be and do is it's the thing that is so deeply ingrained within us that we can't avoid it. We are centered as people of faith in Jesus. So part of that is simply being a follower of Jesus. But that's not the extent of it. Within each of us, there are things that we can't avoid that are a part of our identities. Not saying that book socks are necessarily a part of your identity, but someone who wears book socks, someone whose friends know her well enough to buy her book socks, probably understand that books are something that Mariah can't not live without, right?
You are aware of the fact that there is an actual thing called a book sock too, right?
What? is a book sock? I had no idea.
Sometimes it's the book, like, you know what I mean? The book cover things?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like the elastic ones.
But like textbooks?
I was way too cheap to buy those. Oh, yeah. Paper bags all the way, right? Right?
The bag did less damage to
her. Yeah. Yes. That's awesome. But for each of us, there is something like books for Mariah, right? For each of us, there is something that is so ingrained within us that we can't not live that. That doesn't mean we always support it, right? Y'all have heard probably by now, this has been used in every sermon across the earth. But the sermon illustration about the Native American grandfather talking to a grandchild about the two wolves that are alive inside of us. They're constantly battling. One is not something that you want to be, and one is something that you want to be. And the grandchild asks the grandparent, which one wins? And the grandparent says, well, the one you feed. There's something about that that's absolutely true. We can try to starve vocation out of us. We cannot feed it. But that will leave us hungering and in pain and desperately suffering for something that we know should be more in our lives. So tonight, since we are a small group, we're going to talk in one small group. I want to ask you to think through, what is one thing in your life? And it could be a job, it could be being a child or being a niece or nephew or uncle or aunt or sibling. It could be a talent that you have or a passion that you have. But what's one thing in your life that you can't not do? What's the thing in your life that you can't live without? What's a part of your vocation? I probably should have thought of an example to this to kick it off as a discussion, but I didn't. But I think I usually find, like, I think this is a great